Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you today by the Better Software Company and Social Joey. Hello, geeks. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. And today is part two of our discussion with Angela Cote of Cultivate Advisors and Chris Ramo of Happy Cat Hotel. Welcome back, Angela and Chris.
Hi there, Jack. Thank you so much.
Good to be back.
Well, thanks for giving me so much of your time. And today we're going to dive a little deeper into the world of emerging franchise brands. We left off last week talking about some of the things that Chris, you felt were you know, really some great decisions early on, and it sounded like one of those things was sort of building the right team of franchise experts around you. So I wanted to start there. Let's talk about that team. And Angela, please jump in where you can as well. Who are the right people, or maybe I should say the right positions and roles to be on that team that an emerging brand needs? Chris, any opening thoughts there?
Yeah, I think that there's, on some level, it's probably a little different for each, you know, franchisor, and that's all based on strengths and weaknesses. But I think unless you are a franchise attorney getting into the franchise business, that's one that you need, no matter who you are, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are. A franchise attorney is probably number one. But you know, we were talking about relationships earlier on as well, and I think it's got to be the right franchise attorney for you. And just like it's got to be the right accountant for you. It's a partnership. You have to be on the same page. You have to find the same value in the same elements of what it is that you're working on together. And I think, you know, when you get into creating that FDD and that franchise agreement, you know, you really need to understand the nuts and bolts of that, because that FDD is not just, you know, a document to protect you and, you know, to make sure that that you're, you know, safe and fortified from a liability standpoint. But it's also a sales tool when you get, you know, when you get down to it, and you need an attorney who understands that. So I think, you know, don't just go into the first franchise attorney that's in your town or in your city or your state. I think you got to do your due diligence and find somebody that really gets your brand. I think that's a big part as well.
You know, one of the things that I see all the time is that, you know, an early franchisor has their FDD and they don't actually know it. And it's not, I'm not blaming them. It's not really their fault, because it's such a big thing. And they've had to make decisions without having been through things that they're going to experience. And so they're having to count on the attorney to understand their business, which the attorney can only understand it to a certain extent. So I find that, like, one of the things I love to do with people, and I recommend people do this, is slow down and take the time to understand what's in your FDD, because once that FDD is signed with a franchisee, that's pretty hard to make, you know, to turn back on things. Like, you know, one of the things I hear a lot of franchisors, established franchisors, even regret is just as an example, not having a technology fee or not having enough. I was at the IFA. It was Jack, you know, it used to be called the Frantech, which is now MITCON.
Yes.
A couple years ago. And one of the questions that the audience, somebody in the audience asked a panel of established franchisors was, how many of you have a tech fee in your FDD? And they all responded that they either didn't have one and wished they had put one in, like at least the right to charge up to, you know, X number of dollars, or they had it, but they wished that they had made it more. And they all, they're all like, oh, it's, you know, it's so hard now because we can't change that. And it's a very practical thing that if somebody had helped them understand that they could have avoided. So just back to the point, I think really understanding what's in there and the consequences of what is in there and what isn't in there. And for the record, the average tech fee that I'm hearing these days is around $500 per month. Just a quick side note.
I like that, that idea. I love that idea of making it right the first time and not having to 2 years from now wish that you could go back and change everything.
Yeah, it's easier to do it up front for sure.
Let's talk about let's talk about some of the other folks on the team that you need to get right first.
Yeah, for sure. And just a quick jump back. And that's the value of having, you know, an advisor, a consultant, a growth catalyst on your team. How would I ever, you know, think to navigate through that FDD like that? You know what I mean? Without somebody like an Angela to help us with that perspective. That's number two to me is the franchise attorney and then a good, you know, consultant advisor, because the legal is just, you know, one piece of the pie. To gain an education on everything else that goes into it, you got to have somebody that, you know, that comes to the table with that level of experience on the sales end, on the marketing end, on the legal end, and can inform in all those different ways.
Yeah, I think the idea of an advisor, who's seen many things, good and bad, and can help direct you down the right road. Angela, I'll put you on the spot a little bit here. I'm sure you've seen a lot of mistakes in the past that you're directing someone away from as much as you are telling them, you know, sort of the positive things to get into. Is that right?
Unfortunately, it's more the former than the latter. I think more people come to me when they've already experienced the pain points, and then we're trying to repair and correct. So my goal is to try to catch people before they get to that point, I think myself or anybody in a role that I'm in, you know, we're trying to help you save money by making decisions that are, you know, are going to save you time and money in the future. So that's definitely the goal. And, you know, the attorneys are great. There's some really great franchise attorneys that are really good at understanding business. Like I've got a few people in my network that I'm really proud to send people to. But at the end of the day, their focus is the legal. So when you get somebody that understands the real world of it and has, you know, been in the field and seen the problems, I think you'll get a lot of value out of that.
And I think there's some saving of dollars too when you're working with someone who can help you avoid the landmines. Would you agree with that, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of ironic because, you know, here we are as a franchisor, and we are, you know, marketing this concept to a potential franchisee with the hope that they will come on board because they see the value in picking up where we've left off, you know, learning from everything that we've done. All the mistakes that we've made have been cleared out, and you know, we're on a forward path, and we want them to find that value. And it's just kind of ironic if we ourselves cannot see that within ourselves when it comes to franchising. Why would we not want to align? Like, I'm the franchisee in the franchise industry. I don't know anything about it. I need to learn. And so why wouldn't I want to be aligned with somebody who had done this 200, 300, 400 times in their career? It's just a better use of time, a better use of money. It's without a doubt one of the best decisions that we made as we started to venture into this.
So we've talked a bit about a great advisor, a great franchise attorney. We talked briefly about an accountant. Chris, talk about a manager or a management team for different locations. Is that part of your plan as well?
Yeah, and that's I think that that principle is a story as old as time itself. You have got to be able to, and it's virtually cliche at this point, but it's so true. You've got to be able to work on your business. Get out from working in it and work on it. And a good manager, general manager, to oversee and supervise your, you know, your location or locations, however many you might have. Maybe it's a regional manager if you've grown your brand to that point before franchising. But whatever it might be, you absolutely have to have somebody that can batten down the hatches over there at your local level and free your mind to be able to focus on the things that you have to do to grow this franchise, business for yourself. I think that it's important for that GM, whoever that might be, to understand as well that you are, you're getting into franchising and it's, you're bringing the whole team with you. And when they are, you know, as engaged as, you know, as they can be with this whole thing, it's helpful because they can kind of bridge the gap, right? So here we are, a small business. I've always been around. I've always been on site, you know, working in the business and getting to this point where now we can go out and we can franchise. So to the team who's come to turn to me for solutions and, you know, and to trust me and trust my leadership, now I'm not there all of a sudden. And if we're not careful, that can come across as, oh, you know, Chris doesn't care. And, you know, Chris is out golfing and here we are working. And, you know, to have a general manager there to kind of galvanize everyone who's still on site down there while we're off franchising, I think that's super important. You know, hey, guys, Chris is out there doing this for all of us. And there's going to be opportunities if we can, you know, make this work. So let's just keep doing what we do here, make this the best, you know, happy cat hotel that we can make it. And, you know, if everyone does their jobs, there's going to be great benefits down the road. So I think that part is huge as well.
That's such a great point that you make about, I hadn't even thought about that, but yeah, they feel like, you know, they're losing that longtime leader and that's the thing, is that you need to stay connected somehow. So I think by, you know, bringing them in, and, you know, it's been fun because with Chris's team, we've actually done a session where we had their input on how can we find franchisees? Because we know that there's a lot of people that already love the concept that are just, you know, the low-lying fruit that are around us. So let's get the team involved and get them talking about, you know, finding like who they might know and have them motivated to do that with a referral, you know, bonus as well. So, yeah, I think that connectedness, you know, this is one thing that's always been really evident for me working with Chris and why I think he's made such a great franchisor is, Chris, your understanding of people. So, in relationships, I think, you know, it's so critical. One other point I wanted to make on this is I'm talking about all the downsides and the negative things I see, but it's to help people. Hopefully this is you know, helpful and input for people. But I see a lot of the times where that the owner, but founder, franchisor steps out of the business and things, revenue goes down and things start to, you know, almost fall apart because they didn't, you know, they didn't set the business up to maintain, you know, the revenue level that it's at. And that often means that somebody needs to be responsible for, you know, that sort of continuing that boots on the ground connection to the community or whatever it is. So if you set that up with, you know, accountability systems and really be, you know, don't take your finger off the pulse of that corporate location or however many, it might be more than one, because that's going to be where you're going to fund a lot of your growth of your franchise. So I think having that general, either the general manager or at least somebody on the team at the corporate location or locations that is just so passionate that they take the initiative to help grow the business while you're not there.
Yeah, for sure. And when I think about scenarios where I have, you know, maybe, you know, come into the facility, we're checking on things, we have a big team meeting, something like that, and you know, cross paths with some customers who may be picking up their cats or, you know, transacting some business on site there. It's funny because over the years, like I don't recognize as many faces as I used to. And for me, that's, you know, that's tough. Like I do treasure those relationships. And so I want to know who every person, you know, is. It's just not, it's not realistic with, you know, with where we're at and everything I'm trying to get accomplished. But it's so uplifting and empowering to see, you know, our manager or our general manager be able to step in and, you know, refer to that customer by their first name, and to see, to, for me to have stepped back and, you know, I'm watching in the lobby and there is a customer who is engaging with, you know, Jeanette or Hillary, and it's as if they own it. And to the customer, they might as well. Maybe they think that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter to me. They're just, they're getting that same passionate, you know, empathetic level of response and customer service. And it doesn't matter who it is, as long as they're providing it to the customer. That's all that I care about.
Yeah, they're taking care of the customer so you can go out and build the franchise system or you know, grow the business in other ways. So I think that's a tremendous point, that you've got to have somebody like that on the team stepping up, almost to clone yourself to take care of the business while you're out, you know, growing that empire that I keep talking about. Let's talk about a couple of other roles. Are there other support roles or other marketing? I want to get into that a little bit. Any other areas that we should talk about when as we're completing that team?
Yeah, I think for me personally, and I would imagine for anyone who's, you know, who's ventured off down this path in this way, you know, a sidekick, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. I found as, you know, the deeper that the deeper down the franchising rabbit hole that I went, you know, I just got to a point where both emotionally and organizationally, I could not, you know, keep all of the moving parts in line. You know, and we had mentioned this earlier in business and not just in franchising, we're taught, you know, if we have good teachers, that is, you know, to get out from working in the business and working on it. And it's the same principle here. You know, there came a time when I had to say, well, I can keep managing the marketing and the legal and the financial and the operational and the executive functions myself at 50 or 60%, and you know, until the business you know, awards a franchise, if we, you know, if we even do when we're operating or when I'm operating at 50 or 60%, or I can, you know, get some of that offloaded and have the two of us operating at 100%, and you know, I can that's my Charlene. So, you know, enter stage right, Charlene. She is the franchise sidekick. She is my sidekick, and she is amazing. She has really changed everything that we're, you know, we've been able to do in the last 6 months. And I can honestly say, with her coming on board, I've probably picked up 5 or 6 months in our timeline with where, you know, where we are and where we could have been in development. And 6 months is huge. And so there's just no, and let me be clear, you know, it has to be the right time. You know, it wasn't the right time a year and a half ago. Things were still at a place where I was, you know, able to manage all that. But just as we came out of, you know, set up development and came into marketing the franchisees and, you know, working with franchisees and bringing candidates on board and just all the things that go on, it was time, and we pulled that trigger, and you know, she's been a godsend. So that's one thing that I would highly recommend any emerging franchisor kind of keep in the back of their mind when that time is right to bring that person on.
Who do you see as sort of the next role that you need to add to your team? Are there positions out there now that you're thinking, okay, once we get to whatever milestone, I really want to have a person doing this or a person doing that? And anything sort of come to mind here?
Yeah, for sure. For me, again, this is, I think, a strengths and weaknesses kind of thing. Is for me, it would be a part-time CFO. I mean, I understand the numbers. I understand our numbers, but I, you know, revel in the challenge of, you know, questioning everything that we're doing. You know, is it, are we doing it just because that's what's done? Are we doing it because it's the best thing that we can be doing? And I believe that the right part-time CFO could really help us with that. I could use somebody to help challenge every financial result that we produce, you know, poke holes in every worksheet and spreadsheet and, you know, P&L that we print, and just challenge us to get leaner where we need to. But at the same time, challenge us to get risky if that's what we need to do to, you know, you got to crack some eggs if you want to make an omelet, like somebody who just can take a step back, look at the whole thing and say, okay, you know, are we making every optimum decision that we can? That would be extremely valuable to me.
I don't know about this idea of finding people to challenge you, Chris. I think you want to surround yourself with a whole lot of yes men. I think that's in all seriousness, I love that idea of you know, finding people to, you know, challenge some of the decisions and poking holes in it, whether it's the numbers or you know, maybe in some other areas too, and not turning into one of those businesses with someone who surrounds himself or herself with a lot of friends who are just going to nod their heads, and then in a year or so they don't understand why they're not growing. So mm-hmm. Kudos on that. I think that's a tremendous idea. Angela, any thoughts from you on positions or maybe other positions that that might be a good fit for organizations like Chris's coming up in the, let's say, in the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's like the $1 million question. I find that people, it depends on so many different factors. Like, what I love how Chris pointed out, like their strengths, what are his strengths and what are his, you know, areas that he might need some support on. So that's something I look at with people, is like, well, what are you good at? What, you know, but then also what makes sense for you to be doing. So it's really a matter of kind of each business and what they've already got going. But definitely in the future, you know, I see in the sort of 6 to 12 months of the stage we're at would be something in the marketing, you know, somebody more in-house. Right now it's been sort of a combination of outsourced. And by that, I mean, you know, as far as like creating materials and things like that, mm-hmm. you know, eventually just getting a little bit more in-house at some point. And then field support's going to be big, you know, with the first couple of franchisees. I think initially, you know, Chris is going to be quite connected because he's going to be learning, you know, how to support them. And Charlene might, who knows, you know, it might make sense for her to move a little bit into that role. But field support is definitely one of the next roles that I see coming up as well. So I'd say something in marketing and something in field support are probably also on the horizon, in addition to the part-time CFO.
Excellent.
I wanted to just touch on one thing too. And, you know, we're talking about all these roles and these very technical roles, really. And it's all extremely important. But, you know, it occurred to me too, as we were discussing, like there's an emotional element to this as well. And as much as we're, you know, strategizing about the technical elements to support the technical resources, having that sidekick and somebody who you know, isn't just a paper pusher, you know, somebody who is invested in what the brand means and where it's going, and you know, just is there along for the ride, is so. Just so important to me. Whether it's the sounding board or an accountability partner, you know, just to have somebody get off a call that didn't go so well and say, you know, oh, well, that really sucked, or to get off a call and say, you know, that was amazing. It's so uplifting and, just validating and reinforcing that, you know, hey, you're not alone in doing this. And it's super important with something as big and as robust and really, truly as complicated as this whole process is.
I like that idea of you got to have someone to celebrate with and someone who understands when things are not going so great, because your friends and family, it's going to be your friends and family, right? They're always going to, try to, cheer you up when maybe you don't want to be cheered up. You want somebody to sit there and be mad with you for an hour or so. I totally get that.
Yeah. Mom is mom, but she's going to take your side no matter what, but if people are not investing in the franchises, mom saying, well, that's just their darn mistake. Sometimes it's not enough. So,
love that. We're going to be back in just a minute. I want to wrap up with Chris and Angela talking about some advice that they would give someone who's franchising their business or about to franchise their business. We'll be back with that in just a moment. But first, a word from the Better Software Company. The Better Software Company has everything you need to take control of franchise operations with a software solution that does it all. Control your brand, support your franchisees, track leads, and take your sales and customer service to the next level with a CRM designed specifically for franchises. The Better Software Company believes that building franchise success means making it easy for franchisees to be successful. Learn more at thebettersoftwarecompany.com. That's thebettersoftwarecompany.com. All right, Chris Ramo of Happy Cat Hotel. We want to wrap up today with first you, and then we're going to shoot over to Angela to get a little advice for anybody out there that is new to franchising. They're thinking about franchising their business. If you were to sit down with them at the bar or the coffee shop this evening, what would you tell them to do next?
Absolutely. Item number one, be prepared. Just do your research on the front end before you make that first step forward into franchising. Read, talk with, go to conferences, just absorb as much as you can, because it is a huge, huge endeavor. And when you do make that decision, if you make that decision, item number two is know who is going to be in what role as part of that process, whether they are coming up to the Fran dev side with you, or they are going to be the one who's helping to fortify your stores. Either way, just have a plan. Another thought is, I think while bootstrapping is real and necessary strategy sometimes, I think you have to pick your spots. I don't think you want to bootstrap everything. I think you got to know your strengths, know your weaknesses, and which resources you need at the franchise level, which we talked a lot about that throughout the podcast here, and which ones you want to keep. You might have a resource, whether it's internal or it's a contractor, who is just on board with everything that you're doing. They know their stuff. That can be a value because they've come up with that brand. But just be sure that that you're picking your spots with when to turn to the franchise professionals and when not to. I think just whatever decisions you make, try not to make it emotional. There's just too much at stake. You don't want to look back and say, my Uncle John he's a great attorney, but I probably should have went with a franchise attorney, a year ago, and I probably wouldn't be doing my FDD over again, that type of thing.
Yeah, great advice. I love that. And if any of our listeners would like to hit you up for a little bit more advice, where can they reach you?
Sure. My email is Chris, Chris, at happycatfranchising.com. And I'd love to just talk about this stuff, and I love to learn and ask questions too. So however it breaks down, that would be great. The franchise website is happycatfranchising.com, and they can go there for all the franchise stuff. And we have contact form on there as well. And I would love to just talk to anybody who wants to talk.
Excellent. We'll have a link to all of those places at socialgeekradio.com as well. Okay, Angela Cote, time for you to give us some sage advice. And I know this probably changes over time with all of the different brands and emerging brands you've worked with, but what's kind of the, what's the hot advice right now that, that you tend to tell people, maybe the first time you chat with them? Is there anything right now that seems to really stand out?
Well, it is actually pretty consistent. It's slow down, and it's probably kind of similar to what Chris is saying. It's like, slow down, lady, and tell me why, you know, let's really understand why you want to go the franchising route. And I think because the first big investment that people typically go make is, drum roll, the franchise attorney, right? Which is generally about a $25,000 investment. So what happens is once people invest in that, whether or not they should keep franchising, they do because they feel like they've already started the investment.
Yeah, I've got to get that $25,000 back.
Exactly. And then it's a snowball effect because, well, then you need operations manuals and you need to spend money on marketing and all these things. So I think my biggest piece of advice is and always will be slow down and do a proper assessment with, you know, somebody that you trust in franchising that really understands, you know, the criteria to make it successful and can really paint the picture for you. That could even be talking to other franchisors that have gone through it and really just understanding like whether it's a fit so that when you do jump in, you know, you aren't going to need to look back and wish you had, you know, made a different decision. So really just slowing down, really assessing before you pull the trigger on that first big investment.
Love that. And if anybody has additional questions or they want to get a little bit more free advice from you, where can we send them?
Mm-hmm. I'm always happy to chat with people. My email address is angela@cultivateadvisors.com. And I'm, as you know, all over LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram. So I always love to hear from people through social media as well.
Excellent. Chris and Angela, thank you both for joining Social Geek Radio today. It's been very enlightening. And I also just wanted to say thanks for, you know, really kind of opening up and sharing a lot of, you know, real detailed information about your businesses. It's kind of refreshing to hear people share what's gone right and what they would do different. And I really appreciate your transparency and honesty.
Yeah, thank you, Jack. That's just the name of the game is authenticity, and I don't know how to operate in a different way. It's just is what it is, good, bad, the ugly, whatever, anything in between. I just appreciate, you know, the platform and the opportunity to talk about some of this stuff. It was nice to get some of it off my chest too.
There you go. That's what we're here for. Angela, thanks to you as well.
Yeah, therapy, right? This is a therapy podcast.
Excellent. We'll talk to both of you very soon at a franchise event coming your way, probably this fall. And I want to say thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2019, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.